So I firstly want to thank the Atzeret Chagai Revitzin for hosting. It is really, really nice. I certainly know and not at fault to people in the community. Obviously, there's a lot of challenges with hosting. It's not always so easy. So I appreciate you hosting this week and being willing to host every single week. This really is a very exciting thing. And it's a very, very holy and impressive limud for what we're about to be undertaking. Just to give a little bit of background, Moshe Chaim Luzzatto was an Italian Jew. He lived, the author of the Sefer, he lived from 1707 to 1746. So a relatively young, short life. And this was written around 1738. And it became very popular extremely quickly. And it was popular throughout. Everyone recognized its greatness. The Vilna Gaon, who is known certainly as one of the greatest Chacham and greatest Torah scholars of all time, he's said to have read the first chapter, which is what we're going to be starting tonight. He's said to have read that multiple times. I forgot if it was like 9 times, 11 times, 14 times. It's like somewhere in that ballpark. He read it that many times before leaving his house, because he wanted to make sure before exposing himself to the outside world with so many distractions to really get this into him and really remind himself what matters in this world. And the Vilna Gaon is also said that within the first 11 chapters, there's no extra word that he found. Nothing superfluous. Every single thing is precise. And as you see it, and the more you study it, you'll see that it's really written in a very concrete and a beautiful way, where there's nothing added. It's not where he's just going on. There's certain times you'll go to a shiur, I hope I don't do this tonight, where sometimes you find them being very repetitive and it's going on. And there's really a certain derech here in what he's going to be doing.
The first 11 chapters.
What do you say?
Why did they only go and say that about
us? I'm not sure. I just saw that he said it regarding that. I'm not sure what added word is in the 12th chapter, but but certainly there's a certain like Ruach HaKodesh in a certain sense to the way this was written, and to certainly him showing that the Ramchal was an immense Talmid Chacham that he himself wanted to learn from. And it happens to be that I was contemplating whether to begin with the introduction of the Sefer or begin with the first chapter. The introduction is actually known to be one of the most famous introductions to any Sefer. I'm not going to be introducing that, starting with that, because I felt that if we were to do that, certainly it would be a number of weeks doing just the Hakdama. And I want to partly start with the meat and potatoes, but I plan on right now starting to give you an overview of what he says in the introduction, the main points he says, so that you understand why it's important.
Do you know if it's been published in English?
It has been.
It has been.
This has the English here. It's by a lot of the main Jewish publication houses. They have it in English. You could even find it online if you go to safario.org. There are ways to find it. I'm happy to send to you afterwards. One of the things he says in his introduction, which is not in front of you, but one of the main things he says, he starts off in a very humble way, and he says, there's nothing I'm writing here, and everything we're going to learn now, there's nothing new. There's no chidushim involved. Every single thing is something you probably know. Now, interestingly, on some of the commentators point out that he's referring to like Talmidei Chachamim. The average person will find many chidushim in what he says. But certainly it's a very humble thing to say. But he states that because he says, so why am I writing the book if there's nothing new here? He says the goal is for a person to constantly review these ideas. And he writes, you shouldn't just, and this wasn't because he wasn't getting money every time someone read the book, but he was saying the goal is for a person to work on one's midos, is to constantly review it, to go over and over and over it. He talks about, he laments the fact that on the one hand, you had at the time when he was writing this in the 1700s, there were tremendous Talmidei Chachamim who were not learning Musar and were not working on their character development. And he said it was a shame. And on the flip side, you had people who are Amoratim who were working on their character development but weren't appreciating Torah for what it is. And he said the goal is for everyone, all Jews, to be able to to elevate themselves through the study of Musar. And one of the reasons also why this Sefer became so popular is because Rabbi Saul Solanter, who was born, I believe, in 1801, who founded what's known as the modern day Musar movement, to bring the concept of Musar, which is basically working on one's midot, to bring that into the yeshivas. And he stressed the learning of this Sefer. So throughout European yeshivas, they were learning this Sefer, and so certainly it has been passed down to learn the Sefer. He basically is not going to begin with doesn't start with the first chapter. The first chapter, in a certain sense, even though it's not an introduction, it's basically the foundation of a person's goal in life and the challenges one faces in life. But then he goes on to explain different levels and steps that a person has to take as a human being to perfect oneself. And this is all based on a braisa from Rav Pinchas ben Ya'ir, which he explains at the end of the introduction, and he says basically, Torah, Mivili Dezahiras, Torah, the study of Torah brings a person to being careful, to vigilance, Zahiras, Mivili Dezahiras, and goes on with all the levels that we're going to be learning together over time. So with that introduction, let us begin. So the Ramchal says, Yesod HaChasidus, V'shorosh HaVodat Mima. Now the word Chasidus here is not meant like the way we view Chasidus, because modern day Chasidus was founded slightly after this time period. The statement of Chasid is someone who's a pious individual, someone who in a certain sense goes Lefnei Mishras HaDin, who goes above and beyond, certainly someone who's very meticulous and careful about everything that they do when it comes to all areas of Judaism. Now, I'm sure that the Chasidim, that we know as Chasidim, call themselves that because of that concept, that they want to view themselves as people who go above and beyond, who are extremely careful and meticulous. But it's not necessarily where one that automatically connotes the other. So the foundation of piety, the Shorosh HaVodah, and the root of HaVodah Tmima, of perfect service of Hashem, who she is bar vis amitz etal adam, ma chavasa ba'olamo, ulamat tzar shiasem abasa, b'gamasa b'chol asher mel kol yimei chayav. Says the root of a person as a Jew, when it comes to serving Hashem, a person has to know why they're here in this world. What am I doing here? That is one of the biggest questions that plagues people, and psychologists and psychiatrists have made billions of dollars because of that question. Why am I here? The search for meaning. Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, and others, but when a person feels as if they're just moving, as if things are just going, and they stop to think, it could scare them. That thought of, what's all this about? Why am I working? Why am I getting a job? Why am I having a family? What's the purpose of these things? And so why am I focusing, and what should I focus on, even more importantly, in this world? And the goal of what he's going to set is the idea of thinking about prioritization. Because we oftentimes, myself, and I think about this a lot, we oftentimes have a lot of things going on in our lives. And the question of how we should prioritize things is something that is really, really essential to how we want to view our life, how we want to live. Because if there, let's say I'll use an example, I happen to enjoy playing music. And so I also enjoy learning Torah and also view Torah as a tremendous value. So if every night I'm going to start off and always play a lot of music, and you know, if I have time, I'll learn a little Torah, then that shows a certain prioritization. Well, if I always try to, no, I'm going to learn a certain amount of Torah, if I have time, or if I want to make sure to make time for music. So that it's different. A person has to think, and you have to be thoughtful at first to know, what am I doing here? Why am I here? And with knowing why you're here, then you're able to think and be able to focus on what really matters. And he continues, V'hine masha runa chachmenu zechrona levrachahu, and that which our chachamim teach us, sha'adam lo nivra ella lis'aneg al Hashem v'lehanas b'ziv shechinasa. It's also a very important question, that when it comes to the question of why did God create us, so if I were to ask my high school students, or even any of you, for the average person, I ask why God created us, so the average person would probably say, for us to serve Hashem. To be an Eved Hashem, it seems like a good thing. It seems like a common answer. And he says almost the opposite, because Eved Hashem implies that Hashem wants us to serve him. But he says, what's the purpose of the world, of us being here? Hashem created us for the reason, l'tanig al Hashem, to get pleasure from him. V'lehanos miziv shechinaso. And to benefit from his Shechina. Shezehu hatanug hamiti, because benefiting from Hashem, being close to Hashem Shechina, is the greatest and most true and authentic pleasure. That Eden HaGadol Mikol HaUidunim Sheyachol Nimatzei. And it's the greatest pleasure, that anyone could ever find. You could search, and he's going to discuss certain pleasures that are the idea, concept of people seeking different pleasures. But he says everything else falls to the wayside. But the real, and the greatest pleasure is serving Hashem. And just before we go on, I want to share one brief thing, that there's something, I may have said this in shul at some point, I'm not sure if I did, but I say this to students a lot. Because obviously a lot of times, and myself at points in life, people struggle with sinning, with doing the right thing, and this, all these ideas, all these challenges in life. And I tell people, and I really find this true, and you can think about your own life, that when I am doing something where I feel this is what Hashem wants me to do, there's no greater pleasure than that. To know that right now, it doesn't have to be out of a year, like where I'm calculating my year, oh, how did I spend my year? But this moment, this day, this hour, if I'm doing what Hashem wants me to do, there's nothing greater than that. There's a tremendous difference between happy and meaning. People want to be happy, but people also want to have meaning. And watching a Super Bowl is something, and I did watch the Super Bowl, but I'm not giving a... I'm giving most of it to myself in a certain sense, but there's something that, yeah, it brings happiness. It's fun. But it's not meaning. It's about recognizing what is meaningful. And when someone has meaning, that is much more important for a person's character development, for a person's sense of self and self-value. And he says, it's true, of course, that we're here to get benefit from Hashem, but he says, where do we get benefit from Hashem? Umekom ha'idun hazet, where do we get this pleasure? Be'emes, the real pleasure of this? Hu'ol ha'olam habo. The real pleasure for getting close to Hashem, for feeling the real shechina, is in olam habo. Ki hu hanivra be'achana mitzarechas ladavar hazet. Because we are here in order to prepare ourselves for that. To prepare ourselves for olam habo. And he's going to go on to explain certain mashalim. Now, there's a story related to Rav Aaron Kotler. Rav Aaron Kotler was fundraising for the Lakewood Yeshiva, and he went to the Baal Batim, some of the wealthy individuals, and he said to them, you should know that if you support the Yeshiva, the dollars that you're contributing to our Torah learning gives you the same schar as us who are learning Torah. We're on the same playing field. It's like Yisachar and Zvula. So one of the people came up to the Vilna Gaon afterwards and he says, you realize that, like, if we're actually getting the same reward, then I feel almost bad for you because you're sitting there, you're learning, like, I'm the one who has a lot of money, I'm the one who's enjoying life. And Aaron Kotler basically said to him, I actually feel bad for you because I'm actually the one enjoying life. Sitting and learning Torah is my enjoyment of life in this world, and I'll also certainly, as Hashem, will get the benefit in Olam Haba. So there is a tremendous pleasure in just learning and getting close to Hashem.
But this idea of the of life being preparatory for Olam Haba is not universally held as a universal Jewish philosophy, right? There are different approaches to that. This idea that the world is just a prozdor, just a, mm-hmm. you know, a portal to the world to come. And others hold, no, the Iker Zach is meaning in this world.
So I don't think he would necessarily deny the fact that a person shouldn't take certain benefits from the world or a person can't find meaning in this world, but the meaning that we get from this world and how we use the world, he's going to say, is for the purpose of serving Hashem, which is the ultimate goal, is for Olam Haba. He's not out to say that when you do any mitzvah or anything you do, all you should think about is, I'm doing this for Olam Haba. Like, if that's what you're saying, you're correct. He doesn't say that. He would not believe in that. But he believes certainly in the concept that the things we do are for the sake of Olam Haba, for basically, if we want to define it, as opposed to saying Olam Haba, we should say a greater purpose. Now, it's not where we believe, certainly, that we're not here just for this world. Otherwise, the whole concept of mitzvos and veris are out the window if there is no afterworld. But the fact that the afterworld is an even greater place, and the Baal Yemusar point out that, like, the pleasure attained in Olam Haba is something we can't even imagine how good it tastes. And the opposite, Rahman Litzan, is also true. The Gemara in Brachos explains that there are certain things that you're able to get a sense or a feel for what certain concepts are. So, for example, if you want to get a sense for Olam Haba, so Gemara says Shabbos is a 60th of is Main Olam Haba. We say in Davening, correct? And because the Gemara says, I think it's probably based on that Gemara, where the Gemara says it's a 60th. Shabbos is a 60th of Olam Haba, a 60th of like smallest amount of taste. And the halacha, literally, like batal b'shishim, like it's a 60th there. And so the Gemara says, when it comes to Gehenna, we think of fire. And says fire is that Gemara says fire is a 60th of Gehenna. So fire is pretty intense, and that's only 1/60th of what Gehenna is going to be. But so the whole concept on the flip side, though, is that Olam Haba is so amazing that we can't even fathom what it is in this world. And so he's not out to say that a person should basically shun the world and don't look at it, but he's going to be pointing out that there are extreme, many, many difficult challenges in this world that a person has to be aware of and be cognizant of before embarking it and being able to think how you want to live your life in this world. Let's continue. Certainly we could pick up another thing.
What does it mean, Al Hashem? Litaneg Al Hashem.
Litaneg Al Hashem. I think it just means getting pleasure. I don't think it means like on me. Obviously Hashem doesn't have a body. But getting pleasure, I can tell you how it defines it here. Only to take delight in Hashem. This Aneg al Hashem. So continuing on. So Achad Derech Kedei Lagil Emachos Chavtzein Uzeh Huzeh Olam. So he says the purpose basically is to do the mitzvos, to get Olam Haba. And he says the only place you could do this, you could attain Olam Haba, is this world. This is all we have. V'humash Amar Chachmei Zechron L'Bracha. This is what Rabbi say in Pirkei Avos, Ha'olam Azed Domer L'Prozdor, exactly as you alluded to Yisrael, Ha'olam Azed Domer L'Prozdor B'Fnei Ha'olam Haba, that this world is a corridor, is a hallway to get to Olam Haba. Now I'd like to actually explain that in two ways. The simple way, which is probably the way we're understanding it right now, which is that this world is the way to get to the next world. This world is first, just like a hallway comes first before you enter the main room. But I want to use another way, because he explained how Olam Haba is so amazing, and that's where you get the closest to Hashem. But you have to go through this world first. So if you were to go to a palace, imagine walking through the hallway. Could be so there's some nice things in the hallway, but the main place where you're going to see like how magnificent and beautiful it is after you pass through the hallway. When you get to the room, you're able to actually experience what the palace is. And that's, I think, another level of what he's saying here. We're able to use this world to be able to get to the next world, which is going to be really much more majestic and beautiful. And the means in order to fulfill this purpose of using this world to get to the next world is specifically performing the mitzvos that Hashem gave us, to certainly perform the mitzvos asay and to certainly stay away from the mitzvos lo tasay. It says the only place to do the mitzvos is in Olam Hazeh. And there's a story that the Vilna Gaon, who's someone who took time extremely seriously, very, very diligent in time. The legends are he spent 22 hours a day learning. He slept in three half-hour increments throughout the day. And for half an hour, that was time basically like eat and go to the bathroom combined throughout the day. So you're talking about a man who didn't waste time. And on his deathbed, he was crying. As Talmidim around the deathbed asked him, Rebbe, why are you crying? You know where you're going. You're about to get to Olam Haba. Why are you crying? And he took his tzitzis in his hand, and he said, for just a few dollars, a few cents, I could wear a pair of tzitzis, and I could get reward forever, for eternity. And once I pass away, it's done. There's no more earning schar for Olam Haba. There's no more reward. Whatever you are at when you pass away, that's your lot, and that's what it is for all of eternity. It's a scary thought, and certainly it's a thought that will keep a person in check. And therefore, he continues, Al kein husam ha'adam bo bazeh ha'olam, therefore a person places, Hashem places us in this world first, kadesh al yedei hamtzam ha'ele hamizdamnim lo kan, that a person through these means, through these mitzvos, which are here in front of us, yuchal la'agia el ha'makom asher hu chan lo. A person is able to reach that place that's prepared for him. Shehu ha'olam haba. That's olam haba. Dervo sham batov asher kana lo al yedei amtam eila. To then gain the benefit and to enjoy the pleasure that he worked for through these means, through the attainment of all the mitzvos that he worked for and fulfilled in his life. V'hu masha amru zechronam levracha. This is what today I'm going to work and tomorrow I'm going to reap my reward. Another similar line, like we're going to see, like when it comes to Shabbos, if a person doesn't cook before Shabbos, a person should not expect to have food on Shabbos. A lot of different analogies for having to do something in the immediate in order to gain the reward thereafter. Certainly as a teacher, another analogy is if I have students who just space out and don't take notes, and then comes the midterm or a test or a final, whatever it may be, and all of a sudden now they're cramming, they have to get all the notes, so it probably won't work out very well for that person. You have to continuously work hard in order to attain the reward afterwards.
So, but again, it's like reap so you shall be able to sow, right? Put the effort in now so you can reap the benefits later. Right?
Yeah,
it seems like his focus is Lamaba.
His focus is yeah. I'm not denying it. I don't think he would deny that his focus is.
How does it square with the Pirkei Avot concept that you shouldn't do mitzvos on the Kabbalah class, right, for the sake of the reward? That shouldn't be the underlying premise or the underlying motivation for doing mitzvos.
It's a good question. So even though it's true that, and I don't think,
it's jarring. To think that here I thought, giving tzedakah, the inherent pleasure of being able to help somebody, is overshadowed in this philosophy by the greater pleasure is that you're doing the ratzon of Hashem. Mm-hmm.
But what's the reason to not be in the Kabbalah class? Well, the reason is also to serve God properly in order so that,
I think also what it comes down to is that there are certain times in life where you want to emphasize certain things, even if it's not the true and ultimate goal. So, for example, a lot of times at fundraisers, they're not just going to announce, give me the money. They're going to hire entertainers. They're going to do other things to get people in, even though the goal, and everyone knows the goal is to raise money for whatever organization it is. So over here, I don't think he would deny that you should serve Hashem l'shma, for the sake of just serving Hashem, because that's what we should do. But it's important to state that you should realize what this is all for, what this is about, and you should realize your ultimate goal. Set your bar high. Don't just realize what Olam Haba is. Realize how, he's also painted the picture of how amazing Olam Haba is. Like, a lot of times, I've been asked the question countless times, Rabbi, what is Olam Haba? What's it like? Meaning, it's a thing that people wonder. And over here, when he wants to inculcate the idea into people to work on their midos and their character traits, to serve Hashem, to be able to form Hashem's mitzvos, so the why is the question, and for what, and to emphasize just what you're going to be getting, even though it's not, a person shouldn't do it for that sake, to realize what you're going to be attaining, I think is probably his goal here.
No, Hashem never really talks about Olam Haba in the Torah.
Hashem does not, correct, yeah.
It's like it shouldn't be our focus, which is now exists, maybe.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of there's a number of answers to the question of why Olam Haba is not discussed in the Torah. So he continues. Ukshek tistakel od badavar tira. When you look further into the matter, you'll see ki ashlemus hamiti hu rak hadvekus bois barach. And this is now leaving that idea that the main goal is Olam Haba per se. Not leaving that's the main goal, but he's saying that within this world, there's the real goal of dvekas to Hashem, referred to as like clinging to Hashem. And that's not Olam Haba, it could be in Olam Haba in a certain sense, but it also could be achieved and attained in this world. But who mash haya David HaMelech, Omer, this is what David HaMelech says, v'ani kirvas elokim lito, for me the greatest thing is becoming close to Hashem. The Omer, the HaMelech says, continues in Tehillim, ach ha-sha'alti mis Hashem osav ha-kish, shivti v'is Hashem kol mechayai. That the one thing I want, my one request from Hashem, is to sit in his house all the days, referring to sitting and learning Torah, becoming close to Hashem. Ki rak zehu atov, because only that's what's good. That's what's real in this world. And Rashi, in Sefer Devarim, Perkei Gimel, Pasuk Hey, he discusses that this concept of dvekus, which he's saying, this is one of the Hashlimus Hamiti, that when it comes to true perfection of dvekus, which a person should attain, that dvekus is defined as a person who emulates Hashem's ways. Person, mahu rechum afatarechum, that we want to mimic Hashem as best as we can. And the Sforno explains a little differently. Sforno explains that a person's spiritual level is elevated by doing the will of Hashem, by doing the ratzon Hashem. And dveikus is when a person is just basically is doing the mitzvos in order to get a higher up on the spiritual ladder. And that's what dveikus is. It's not necessarily mimicking Hashem, it's doing Hashem's mitzvos. And different ideas related to it. He's saying that's the greatest, one of the greatest pleasures, is that idea of dveikus. I mean, if you just think within your own life of times where you felt close to Hashem, certainly a lot of those times could be a time when you felt you were really doing the right thing, when you felt you went above and beyond. It could be an act of chesed you did for someone that was really something that was very altruistic. Or it could be a time when you really push yourself in learning, whatever it may be, but a time when you feel very close to Hashem is when you're pushing yourself in these to achieve these spiritual heights. V'chol zulas zeshiashavu b'nei adam latov. And so this is what I was going to say, where I was alluding to earlier, is that if people try to tell you other things that are great, he says, eino ela hevel v'shavnita. They're false. They're all fake. They're air. A lot of times we are, if you think about the way the marketing works, it's all about trying to just sell the product, push the product, tell you, make you think you need the product. You can't live life without the product, right? Each 30-second Super Bowl commercial costs $5.6 million. You know that? And all of them are just trying to push people to buy certain things, they probably don't need, but they want to get you to feel as if you do need that, as if this is what's fun, this is what it is. And a lot of times, I mean, certainly as the Jewish people, we could ask the question, like, why is it that Hashem made us such a minority in the world? If we're the Am HaNivchar, Hashem wants us to do the will, we're the one who are given the 613 mitzvos, why is it that Hashem just didn't give the majority of the people 613 mitzvos? And if you think about it, within this context, it's that the way of the world, majority of the people are there and not necessarily doing the right thing. And they'll tell us that this is what you should do in life, and that's what you should do in life, and this is what will lead to happiness, and that is what's true fun and true enjoyment. But he's saying they're wrong. Don't buy into that idea. When other people tell you that something else is amazing, is this is what it is, this is what life's about, don't buy into that. He says, Amnam, however, like Sheyizke Adam La Tova Zos, when a person is able to attain this true greatness, this true dveikus. A person, in order to really attain it, though, you have to work hard first. It's not something that comes easily. And in order to acquire it, you have to really push yourself. You have to work hard to get close to Hashem with your good deeds that bring about this result of dveikus v'heim heim ha-mitzvos. And this is through doing the mitzvos in order to get to that. And it's a very, very challenging thing. I read a story about Rav Shlomo Freifeld where he was with an irreligious Jew, and he brought him to his sukkah. And on his sukkah, he had a poster of Gedolim from Europe. And he shows this person the poster, and he says, I want to tell you about a near-extinct species that these people are, known as human beings. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that when it comes to be a real human being, to be a real person, is to be able to master this. To be able to work up the ladder, the spiritual ladder, to realize the priorities in the world, and to spend your entire life focusing on the ikkar and putting away or not putting as much focus only on what's tough and what's secondary in life. And I've heard different variations, not of that story, but stories like that, where Gedolim are referred to as like human beings, because a real human is someone who's able to perfect one's midos. And it's a very, very important thing for a person to do. I said I'm going to try to keep this, I want to say, short per se, but to around half an hour. I think if we go too long, I think it'll be somewhat too difficult to continue every single week. But Be'ez Hashem, half an hour a week, I think, or so, should be good for us. So thank you so much for coming. Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue where we left off with Parak Aleph next week.